This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As I said before the break, in my opinion, he's best political pundit, reporter, and radio guest on the planet. And he's kind enough to join us on a very, very busy day, a debate that we will carry right here on WCC Radio, a debate you can see on CBS, Channel 4 here locally, and CBSN. The Democrats gather in South Carolina as they are days away from the vote in South Carolina. And then right after that, Super Tuesday. And by the time we get past Super Tuesday, we will have 40% of the delegates in, and Major Garrett is with us. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you, Chad?
I am doing well. Can I give you one suggestion?
Of course.
So what a lot of the politicians do to relate to the audience is they'll tell a story, and they'll say, you know, I met someone, and they'll come up with a city in South Carolina. They'll say, I met Dave, a South Carolinian. And they'll, and they'll work that in. I would say, as you lead up to your question today, you say, you know, I was talking to Chad Hartman. He's he's on Twitter at Chad Hartman Show. And then you could just say anything at that point, just anything. So I'm just looking for the naked name drop. That's pretty much my suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Suggestion duly noted.
Yeah. How much consideration will you give to that suggestion on a scale of 0 to 10?
Zero.
Zero. Didn't sound like a lot of wiggle room, I got to be honest.
No wiggle room at all.
No wiggle room at all. So take me through an approach. When we've had as many debates as we have had so far, how much are you balancing the important questions which have been asked, but there's always change to those questions? There's always different nuance with circumstances. You always have new people watching. Compared to the thinking of, you know, very important questions have been asked, but a number of topics have not been addressed, and we feel like we can address some of those topics through questions tonight.
So our co-sponsor for this debate is the Congressional Black Caucus Institute. And in our conversations with them, they've made it pretty clear to us that they believe a great number of questions particularly relevant to African-Americans and Latinos have not been asked or glossed over in previous debates. And we are committed to raising issues dealing with criminal justice inequities, housing inequities, things dealing with not just wage disparity, but things that are acutely problematic within the African-American and Latino communities. And we have a great number of questions on those topics. And we have every intention of getting to them. One thing that I've learned, I've done two presidential debates before. You always go in with more questions than you are going to be able to ask. And in this debate, we are particularly mindful that the candidates will be contentious with each other. Bernie Sanders is going to get a lot of incoming. Everybody knows that, including the Sanders campaign.
Yes.
And how much of that process gobbles up time is going to be one of the things we have to juggle. And refereeing that, slowing that down, in some cases stopping it, will be primarily the obligation of the two anchors who will be leading the process this evening, Gail King and Nora O'Donnell. And then we will apportion those questions as best as we can. And I will say this up front. If we don't get to all of them, some of that blame will be on the candidates because we have them.
Yep.
And if they gobble up time doing other things, and I anticipate a scenario where we ask one question off the top and there's a 10-minute conversation about Bernie Sanders' new numbers for all of his spending plans. And that isn't even the question we ask. Maybe, maybe not. But I can see 10 minutes of jousting over that. Well, okay. It's a 35-minute opening segment. That much I'll tell you. And we've got a lot of questions. Well, if the first 10 minutes vanish with one question, well, and there's not even a follow-up in there.
That's on them.
See what happens.
Yep.
And then just think of this, if you can, metaphorically. Think of these questions as Tetris blocks in the Tetris game.
Mm-hmm.
When they come sliding down, they've got to fit. You've got to find a way to fit them. And if you can't fit them, they fall out. And that's a big part of the process, which is ongoing and evolves as the debate itself evolves. But we have worked, I guarantee you, strenuously to put these questions together, and we're going to do everything we can to get them asked and, importantly, answered.
The panel is five tonight. Major Garrett is on it. As he mentioned, Nora O'Donnell and Gail King are the hosts, but Major, Margaret Brennan, and Bill Whitaker are part of it. Again, the debate is on CCO Radio and also on your TV starting at 4 o'clock, on Channel 4 at 7 o'clock and also on CBSN. Let me ask you a philosophy on this one, too, because people look at it differently when it's a large group like this. You get to your question, you direct it at one of the candidates, and
right.
It is clear they have decided to pivot from that to either a previous topic or a different attack, and by the time they are done, they have not directly addressed what you asked them. Do you feel like in this case, when now millions and millions of people are watching, you know, the last NBC debate had 20 million, I bet you'll have more tonight. Do you then feel like it's up to the audience to glean that, guess what, candidate A did not answer that, you can react to it, or do you feel like as one of the panelists and someone who's very good at this, to redirect the question in a specific way to try to once again get the answer?
We're going to try to get the answers. And a lot of the questions have specifics that we cite, data that we cite in them that compares to records or leaves open this place that we want the candidates to fill in, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of voters in South Carolina. And as you said in the intro, Super Tuesday states, this is the last debate before Super Tuesday. In some Super Tuesday states, voting has already begun. It's been going on for a little while, especially in California.
Right.
But this is the last look-in that those voters are going to have. And so when it's a specific point of policy, and again, on these issues that our partner, the Congressional Black Caucus, believes has been glossed over, and we agree, we're going to try to be as persistent about that as possible. But it is a very fine line. There are things you're up against. You're up against time. You're up against getting on to the next thing, because if you spend too much time on one and it's housing and you don't get to rural health care or you don't get to criminal justice or you don't get to wage disparities, well, okay, how do you balance all that? And again, it evolves before your very eyes. And having been through this twice before, the sand runs through your fingers at an unbelievable rate.
As usual, you nailed it on Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders now has, on some of these national polls, a significant lead. He has closed dramatically on Joe Biden. He had a great day in Nevada. He was successful in Iowa and New Hampshire. And at this point, he is the leader. He is the favorite. That can change quickly with all these delegates coming in. How much of the time do you think should be directed on his recent comments that have drawn a lot of attention on putting number on a lot of the massive changes he wants to make?
Mm-hmm.
His comments on AIPAC, the prominent Jewish lobby, and his comment to Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes about Fidel Castro and a literacy program, and clearly his opponents have jumped all over that one in particular.
Well, as you might well imagine, I'm under some pretty significant guidelines to speak generally about
these
matters.
Understand. Just give us the whole format, if you could, and so we can just...
I would just say this. Those fall under the category broadly of news of the day. And the news of the day will not be given short shrift during the debate.
Do you think it is now more your pundit and observer situation? We obviously have a lot of moderates in here right now who are vying for that opposition, and they see the rise of Senator Sanders. And outside of Mayor Bloomberg, some of the others, Klobuchar, Biden and Buttigieg may face some significant financial issues. Is there any scenario you think where coming off this debate, where any of them would step out before next Tuesday?
No. Well, let's just, well, yes, there is one. I mean, if Senator Sanders' momentum carries into South Carolina and he defeats or comes very close to Joe Biden, I don't think there's much left for Joe Biden to do, and I don't think his donors are going to sustain him. I mean, since it's only 3 days between Saturday and Tuesday, he could stay around,
yeah.
But I think effectively that's the end of his campaign. And remember, things for Joe Biden have just gotten worse. Iowa, 11 points. New Hampshire, 17 points. Nevada, 26 points. Those are the numbers reflecting the gap between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. That's no kind of momentum. That
no.
is just dire circumstances. Yes, he was second place in Nevada, but he was so distant in second, you couldn't even see Bernie Sanders.
No.
That's a problem. And for everybody else, look, campaigns don't end because you give up hope. Campaigns end because you don't have any money.
Yep.
And Michael Bloomberg won't have that problem.
No.
I also anticipate something happening on the stage tonight quite early where Mike Bloomberg at least tries to send a signal that he's going to be better this time than he was last time.
Yes, correct.
And if that signal is sent, how is that received, and how do other candidates pivot off that? Do they say to themselves, oh, nice, back, Mike, you're back in it, but you're still not target one. Target one is Bernie Sanders. And that is a dynamic that they know more about than we do. And the other thing that is also a part of any debate preparation process is trying to constantly remind yourself about apportionment of time.
Yes.
And trying to do that as equitably as possible. There is no absolute. There is no perfection there. But you try to be mindful of it, and you try to distribute that which is part of the conversation as widely as possible and as relevantly as possible. Tom Steyer is relevant here in South Carolina, but is he relevant anywhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. But that doesn't mean he's going to be excluded. He's running third here. He's going to get his swings in. There's no question about it. And Senator Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg are relevant here, but they're also trying to be relevant in Super Tuesday states. And that's one of the things that I think a big challenge for us, because this debate is not just for South Carolinians. It's for a big look-in audience that's going to apportion more than 1,300 delegates come Super Tuesday. So it's when we talk, for example, we have when we talk about housing, part of that is affordability. Part of it's also eviction rates.
Mm-hmm.
What's a big issue here in South Carolina? Four of the cities in the top 10 nationally with eviction rates are in Virginia, Super Tuesday state.
Yep.
The crisis in California, Super Tuesday state. So these issues cross borders, and they're bigger in many cases than South Carolina.
I know you are extremely busy. You are only hours away from this debate. You guys have been putting in a ton of work. I so appreciate you coming on. I'll be watching. I'm sure it'll be fantastic, and we'll reach out soon.
We'll do our best. Thanks, Chad.
Major Garrett with us. It's 248. Check him out on Channel 4. And even more importantly, right here on Newstalk 830 tonight, starting at 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.